Hi there and welcome to Nordic Mum Podcast. In this podcast, your host Susanna will talk all things parenting, motherhood and biz mum life. She has exciting biz mum guests and their stories on how they juggle their business and motherhood every day. Every episode gives you tips and tricks to tackle your life as a parent or biz mum.
Are you a stay-at-home mom with a big dream like starting business or writing a book but haven't told a soul yet? Do you wish you had the courage to take the first steps towards pursuing your dream? Then you want to listen to Naja in the Art of Following Your Heart podcast, where she inspires and encourages other stay-at-home mamas like her to find the courage and resources to pursue their biggest dreams. Naja herself is a stay-at-home mom who became a successful artist. Follow her on Instagram and Facebook, The Art of Following Your Heart, and join her Facebook group with the same name to be part of this growing community. Also, subscribe to her podcast in iTunes. A very warm welcome for Natasha Stewart for a Nordic Mom podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Now, Natasha, you're a mother of two. You're running your online business, Business Jump from Home. In 3 short years, you have reached 1 million in turnover and you have amazing story behind all this. So could you first tell me about yourself and how did you get where you are today?
For sure. Gosh, where do I start? I'll try and make it the short version for you. I guess I've always been quite entrepreneurial and I'd always had things on the side, side businesses and side hustles while I was working. But the real big cornerstone came to me after my daughter was born. She was one and I had to navigate back into employment and I was fired for being a mum. And even though I ugly cried the whole way home in the car because it felt so demeaning and humiliating the way that it was done, there was no warnings, no anything leading up to it. So it was a complete shock to me. It really just made me think to myself, I don't want to be putting my, I'm trying to sort of use another word besides fate because sort of fate sounds a little bit corny. But I don't want to be putting this in an employer's hands anymore. I don't want to be controlled by a full-time job that I don't even like and someone can just fire me from it, you know, because they don't like that I'm a mum. So that was the real moment where I decided to make my passion for business full time and sort of just back myself. And I decided that I was going to take control and that I was going to just, yeah, back myself and jump into business. So I did that. I had a graphic and design freelancing business and also a product-based business. And I grew them to quite successful on paper, but they weren't fulfilling to me. And then another big alignment came after my son was born and I had PND. And that for me was I no longer want to live my life where I'm not feeling like once I recovered, I was no longer willing to live my life where I didn't feel fulfilled or within purpose. I'd had my happiness taken away by PND and it wasn't something that I was willing to sacrifice. And out of that literally came Business Jump, which is all about sort of not just having any type of business, but having a business that is meaningful and that makes us happy and that we love doing it and using it to actually create things that we want in our lives, which as mums, it's generally around more freedom and more flexibility. And of course, we want them to be financially successful as well. So yeah, that's the short version. I feel like it was a little bit long, but hopefully that's a good enough snapshot.
So what kind of mothers, you know, typically come for you for help? What kind of mothers come to say to you, hey, Natasha, I need your help. I have a business idea or I have a business that's failing. What kind of situations these women you normally are?
Yeah, so we help mums start a business. So generally it's mums that don't have a business as opposed to that are already running a business. But I'm looking forward to taking Business Jump in a little bit of a new direction. So that may change. But up until now, it's been mums who maybe they have an idea, but they're not 100% confident about it. Or maybe they've got too many ideas and they're not sure which one to choose. So we help them move through each of those stages of piecing their business together. But I mean, leading back a little bit from that, it's generally mums that are also fed up with work. Maybe they have also been through an unfair dismissal, or maybe they're stay-at-home mums that want their own thing to nurture besides the kids. Or I like to think that they're being called to do something. They've got it in the back of their mind and they can't stop thinking about it, and they can't stop thinking about it, and eventually that leads them to me, where then we help them take it into more of a reality instead of just rolling around in their minds.
Now, in your time of doing Business Jump, and on your own experience of being fired from a job because you wanted to, you know, flexible hours and you wanted to be working differently than what the company was willing to provide, do you find that this is happening more, or is it just me thinking that this is happening more, just reading between the lines of what I hear and what I've seen in media as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me personally, in my situation, I wasn't even asking for flexible hours or anything special because I was a mum. I think probably there were a few times where my daughter was a germ hotel and they and I don't know, like, what are you meant to do when daycare say I can't take your kid and you can't take your kid to work? You can't go to work.
Exactly.
So I think that for me was the part that got them a little bit offside, was that I did have to take some time off. But I mean, in terms of inflexible working hours with other employees or employers, sorry, I do have people that come to me stating things like that, but I only know it from, you know, potential clients that come to me and say they're sort of fed up and they want more flexible hours.
I'm just wondering, what is the law saying about, like, did you take it any further? Like, did you have grounds to, like, unfair dismissal, or is it just that it's still legally allowed in Australia?
No, it's definitely not legally allowed. I did speak to a lawyer. I did have a very strong case for unfair dismissal. But it's not that I am always not a, I mean, I don't mind confrontation. I can deal with it. But just in that moment, in that time, I decided to walk away from it. He paid me out. So he basically gave me hush money and I just couldn't be bothered. I think, to be honest, I was intimidated and he did scare me. And at the time, I just didn't want to push that. Could have I? Yeah, absolutely. Like, I definitely could have got myself to that place. But yeah, I just decided to walk away from it. And you know what? To be honest, now I'm so grateful that he did that. Like, it's one of the best things that happened in my life. So thanks.
So it was a gift in disguise.
Yeah.
Now, how being a parent have changed your approach to work, and now that you are running your own business from home, and how has the parenting juggle changed? I changed everything I know, but how has it been for you?
Yeah. I have been doing it. So, yeah, my daughter was about one. So I've been through all the different stages of having a one-year-old at home and managing that, and then the second one coming along and managing that. And then I got to that beautiful sweet spot where your kids start going to daycare and you start to get some of your freedom back and your independence back. And then now they're both at school, but now I'm pregnant with twins, so the whole thing is going to turn upside down again. But it's a juggle, and it's definitely not easy. And it takes a lot of mindset and a lot of resilience, but it's so worth it. I mean, I love that straight after this podcast, if there was something on at school that I needed to go and attend to, I could go and do that. And that's so worth all the times that my kids painted my TV with toothpaste while I was on a call, or all the times that I caught them in the pantry eating all the junk food because I was too busy sending an email. Like, you know, it all comes out in the wash in the end.
Yeah, true. And what do you think about, you know, nowadays, has online business changed? Because, you know, when I started my product business short 2 years ago, I feel that because of the digital era we live and the how much social media actually means for your business, it kind of gone through hoops and loops and it has changed. So what is your view about the online business and the area that you are in?
In my space, I feel that there's never been a stronger emphasis on digital marketing. So a lot of the things that I say to people that want to start an online business is, you may think that you're starting a business selling a product or, you know, a service, but you're actually getting into the business of digital marketing, because we need to know how to communicate and sell and present ourselves to our audience in order for our business to generate a revenue. So for me, that has been the sort of rise of digital marketing has been something that has definitely transpired a lot over the years. Not a lot of people were that into it when I was, you know, sort of like just starting out, and now it seems to be a lot bigger thing.
And it's about, you know, about yourself. It's like whether it's a service or product, you have to put yourself out there more than you can hide behind stock images anymore, because it's about you and you give authority and confidence to the consumer to buy because they know you, and it's about your story and telling that story. And you are like the brand. It's like we're not all Oprah, but we are like a mini Oprah, because we have to kind of put ourselves out there. And I think the time is gone when you could just have pictures of, you know, pretty landscapes and don't have to put your face out there.
Yeah. Well, I think traditionally the perception, and it was a true perception, that business was that it had to be corporate and professional and, yeah, stock photo-y. And we never saw really the person behind the business. And there has been a definite transition to more personal branding within businesses. And for me personally, and my philosophy in business and what I teach my clients, is that's how you cut through the noise of the online world. You're always going to be doing something similar or the same as someone else, but there's only one of you. So if you can use yourself and your uniqueness to cut through the noise and create connections telling your story, then that's going to put you miles ahead of someone, you know, that isn't doing that. Or, you know, certain people will connect with you, but certain people won't. And that's totally fine. Like, segmenting the market is an amazing thing to do. So, yeah, definitely storytelling is something that has been rising a lot, I've seen.
And what about social media? Like, we have to talk about social media. You do a lot of it on an Instagram and Facebook, and you share a lot about your own life. Like, congratulations about the twins, by the way. I missed it there. Sorry about that. And I was reading your announcement when you were explaining how you surprised your husband and you surprised yourself when you went to the scan. And I was like, oh, my God. It was so intriguing, because when you're reading it, you're like, wow. You know, you felt that you are with you at every step of the way. And yeah, that's the storytelling and branding.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I find I only do it because it's fulfilling to me. Mm. There's some people that and it wasn't something that I was able to do straight away. I actually do think that I probably used a stock photo or two. I didn't like using photos of me, and then I did, and then they were the professional photos. I never did videos, or I never did lives, and I never did, you know, like, each thing is a progression. And as I progressed and I put myself out there a little bit more, the engagement and the reaction, and just knowing that something that I've said has helped someone else and someone else has related to it, that is really soul-soothing for me. Like, I like doing it for that reason. Mm. There's a lot of people that do it just to show off, and it can be quite egocentric, but I only write when I'm feeling sort of like in the flow and in the moment. And when I have something that I feel is worth telling, as opposed to just the sake of writing it to try and, you know, put myself out there, or to, like, for whatever other reason.
Yeah, it's true, because when you read some captions, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, you can tell if they are authentic. Like, you can just tell if this person means what they're saying. And, you know, obviously yours are very authentic, and they're very raw at times as well. And you can, that makes people connect with you. They may connect with your business as well. And that's just a very, very strong way of, I don't know, nurturing your audience and nurturing your tribe, then become your clients.
Yeah. I think first and foremost, I do it because I feel that it is fulfilling to me, and I like the flow and effect. But you also can't, and I wouldn't be able to do it, because, as you said, if it wasn't authentic. But obviously it does flow on to business, because there's loads of businesses out there, and especially in my little circle of the internet, there's a lot of skepticism, and there's a lot of like, yeah, make $1 million in over, you know, like overnight and stuff. So I also do it so people can see that I'm a real person. I'm a mom. I walk, what's that saying? I talk the walk, or I walk the talk, or whatever. So that people can know that, like, I'm genuine and that I care, and they can know me as opposed to the business. So it does flow on to benefits for the business, but I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't authentic to me first and foremost.
What would you advise for, business owners to look out for in social media, and how to use it for their best advantage when they want to sell their product or their service?
I think the first and foremost thing to remember is that social media is to be social and actually not for selling. And people that have tried social media before will probably be well aware that posts where they're trying to sell something will usually flop and get no engagement. But if they share something real, like if they're out at the playground with their kids, or like a funny quote, that stuff always does really well. So if you can sort of like work a way to skew that stuff that does really well and create undertones of what your business is about, I call it selling without selling, then you can really capitalize on social media. And a lot of the time, the things that I write are laced with subtle undertones about my business and what we do and how we help people, but it's wrapped up in a story.
Yeah, so it's kind of like selling without selling it. So everything is like, yeah, it's true, because I find that all the social media platforms that I use, when it's about anything except the podcast, well, not the podcast, actually, okay, because I'm not selling anything yet, but when it's everything about surrounding the setup and your mic and the pictures about, you know, your kids running around background when you're trying to do something, it's more because it's real, and people are more interested about you and your services or product then, because they know there's a real person behind, and they can see that you have your faults like everybody else, and you're just like a mother like someone else out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, if you can tap into the connection of social media and the storytelling and the realness, then you can use that to leverage into business quite smartly without having to do like 20% off sales and buy one, get one free. I find all of that type of selling really soulless. And I find when you come from serving and giving value and expertise and knowledge and giving a piece of yourself as well, it creates an undercurrent of people that want to come back and work with you or buy your stuff because they've connected with you. People do business with people, not businesses.
Yeah, that's true. And I find very often when I speak to women in my podcast that it's all about, you know, place of service. That is what, you know, it's about. It's not about, you know, hey, here's the new nappy or new thing that I have created. It's about how you can serve the people, the community or tribe or whatever you want to call it. So it's a place of service rather than just buy, buy, buy. Yeah, true.
And it's so much more fulfilling when you come at it from that angle as well. Like, I don't want to sell any of my packages. I actually want to help someone start a business, get to where they want to go. Mm. And you come at it from that perspective, it doesn't feel soulless. It feels like you're working. And that's, you know, something that we need to integrate into our business, because sometimes business is really hard and we have shit days. And if we don't have that feel good stuff, then it would be very easy just to drop out and quit.
Yeah, true, true, true. And do you still, like, one of part of your business in Business Jump is that you also sell businesses?
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
We literally just come up with the idea. The business hasn't been created yet. And then if someone is interested in that idea, we will then work with them to create that business. And I do that for a few different reasons. The first reason is one of the biggest pain points of my audience is they actually don't have an idea for their business. So they go months or even years trying to think of an idea and end up, you know, so far down the track and realize that so much time has gone past because they've been stuck in this place of inaction. So putting the idea in front of them usually triggers a, oh, yes, that's exactly what I want to do moment. And then we create it with them because, again, I believe that it's really important to infuse the person's or the client's personality and unique sort of advantages into the business as opposed to just buying something that's out of the box. So, yeah, from identifying a pain point in my audience.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great, you know, idea as a business, because you're right. So many women that, you know, I talk to and when I see questions on those Facebook groups and they're like, I want to start a business, I want to work from home, but they don't really know what it is that they want to do. And yeah, that's just a great way of kind of putting it in front of them and saying, this is what you could actually do if you really want to, you know, work for yourself. What kind of tips would you say that mothers would have to think about if they want to start their own business? If you would have to give like the top five things that any mother out there listening who wants to start their own business, what would you say those are?
The biggest one that I would say is focus on mindset first. So really focus on not putting too much pressure on themselves, just doing what they can within a day, because sometimes we have our best days laid out and kids are really good at completely destroying all of our best intentions. So there's been so many times where I've had so much stuff to do and then one of my kids has gotten sick and had to stay home and my whole day's been destroyed. So I think if we can just first of all go into business being kind to ourselves and to have realistic expectations and to work on our mindset, it then sets us up to have a bigger opportunity at success. The next tip would be, I hate saying the words work smarter, not harder, but it's just how best describes what I want to say. So to rely on systemizing. So once you do something once, set up a system for it that it's working really smartly, to rely on automations, to rely on outsourcing. I would say about 70% of my business is automated or is outsourced. I have an amazing team that do a lot of my work in progress. And I started doing that before I could even afford it. So working really smartly, like mindset, working really smartly with systems and automations. Next, connecting with your community and not being afraid to share some of yourself out there, because that's what people gravitate to and people want to know who's behind the business. Sorry, is that enough or did you want more?
If you have more, I'm happy to take everything.
I've forgotten how many I'm up to, but that's, I would say, yeah, the They're the biggest ones, though. Mm. And actually, sorry, while we're on it then, keep things simple. So, yeah, I'll stop there because to emphasize the point of keeping things simple, I feel like a lot of the time we overcomplicate things because we feel that it isn't good enough. But if you can keep things simple, become a master in it, and then continue to refine and master it, then that's a massive sort of thing to bring into your business as well.
Yeah, I sometimes feel that we're overthinking things and we're overcomplicating things before we even get started, which comes back to the mindset thing as well. It's like I have other business idea once I'm getting rid of my existing business, but yeah. It's so difficult to kind of, yeah, sometimes you just have to take a step back and just like, yeah, this is too much. And yeah, simplifying things and keeping it simple, that's pretty good advice.
I'm lucky for me that tends to be sort of in my nature. I'm more of a go with the flow, keep things simple, but I definitely work with clients that might come from a corporate background or they might be more of a perfectionist and they feel like they have to have all of this stuff before they can actually start. And usually it just hinders us from being able to move forward and to grow. So keeping things simple is such simple advice, but it's so instrumental and it's so helpful. You know, that old saying, done is better than perfect, is so true.
Yeah, I agree. Now, in terms of you have twins on the way and you have two little darlings who are running around and at school today, and we are all very happy that school has started. Yeah. And you have a lovely husband as well. So what do you think about what is the future going to bring you when you have four little, you know, tippy-tappy running around?
Yeah. You know what? I'm 18 weeks now and I'll be completely honest, as I generally am anyway, I have freaked out a lot about having twins. Twins, like no offense to anyone that have twins, but twins was my absolute worst fear because I had P&D with my son. Mm. So when I out that I was pregnant with twins, my mind instantly went to, oh my god, how can you do that all over again, but double, and double crying and double nappies, and it completely freaked out. When I projected to what my life was going to be like, it was like a horror show. And now that I've done a lot of inner work and a lot of mindset and really sort of found myself within it, when I project forward to what my life is going to be like, it's just static because the future been created yet, and I can't fear the future if it hasn't, you know, if I don't know what it is. Mm. And I don't know, like maybe I'll end up in a mental institute, or you know, maybe I'll get perfect mum of the year award. Like I don't know how it's going to pan out, but I know that if I can continue to do the inner work and to remember everything that I've learned and to put my mindset into action. And, you know, my business is very sort of self-sustaining at the moment. I'm actually in a perfect position to take on this challenge right now. So I just don't know how it's going to work out though. So you'll have to ask me maybe. Yeah, I don't know where I'll be.
Well, I have a feeling that you will be just fine because, you know, you, as you said, you know, 70% of your business is kind of done, automated, and it's self-sustained. So yeah, so you will be just fine. And the fact that you're actually talking about it and you're recognizing your fears and you're able to verbalize them and write them down as well, that is so much more than some other women who might be in the same situation, but they don't understand why they're feeling the way they are feeling.
Yeah, 100%. You know, enduring that fear and everything that brought with it was absolutely harrowing. It was it really did scare the crap out of me. But now that I'm on the other side, I feel that I've had so much growth and awareness, and you know, like I've evolved through the process. And now I've just surrendered to it. I don't have any attachment to how it's going to be. I'll just work it out as I go. And it's a really nice spot to be in now that I've come out the other side of it.
Yeah. And what do you do when you want to relax? Like what is, you know, Natasha Stewart, if you want to kind of just, you know, be chilled out, what do you do?
Well, the good part of me would say I used to go running, but now that I can't, I go walking out into, I have all bush around us, so I go walking. But the other side of me, I just love to watch trash TV sometimes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Like, I just find that it switches my brain off. I can just, you know, forget about everything and get absorbed into someone else's world. And I don't know, I find that relaxing sometimes. So I've got a whole toolkit of things that I need to do when I need to relax. It just depends on what's happening in my day.
Mm. And do you read books? Like, do you have time to, or listen to podcasts? Do you have time to kind of educate yourself in the business sense of things? Like, do you have something that you have in a go?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, tracking back to your question of what my tips are or would be, this is another one that I would throw in, is to continually be educating ourselves. I would say that that was also a major growth trigger to Business Jump, is I was quite obsessed with reading and listening to podcasts. I wouldn't let my kids listen to Wiggles in the car. It had to be a podcast.
I'm in the same stage at the moment. They hate because there's always different podcasts and always different voice, and they're like, "Mommy, but I want to listen to CD."
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm listening to this podcast. You guys can deal with it. So I was quite and again, you know, mums in businesses, sometimes we do need to make sacrifices, you know, like, no one's a perfect mum, but at the same time, I've said no to my kids a lot in order to grow my business. And, you know, listening to podcasts in the car is just one small example of that. But I also found, so I did that very religiously for a good sort of 2 years, and then I just found I got burnt out. I got burnt out in business about 6 months ago after I had a miscarriage before I got pregnant this time. And I literally couldn't pick up a book. I couldn't listen to a podcast. I was just so over anything that had to do with business or self-development. I just needed to have a break. And now I'm creeping back into it again and going into that next stage of growth.
Okay. And lastly, what is in a pipeline for you? Of course, you have your twins on the way this year, but in terms of Business Jump and what is happening with Business Jump in terms of direction, is there anything new coming out?
Yeah, so I've been laying low for the last 6 months, as I mentioned, after I got a little bit burned out and had that miscarriage. So I'm really excited to sort of be back focusing on business now and feeling motivated and creative again after I've had a little rest. And the direction for Business Jump is I want to keep on doing what we've been doing and grow and extend that, but I also really want to start using the Business Jump business model and helping existing businesses or new businesses create a service-based business, but to automate it and outsource it and streamline it the same way that I've done that with Business Jump, so they can have the same freedom and flexibility that I've created in my business.
Wow, sounds very interesting. Looking forward to hearing and seeing more about it in the future. Well, thank you so much, Natasha. That went very fast, that half an hour.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much for joining the Nordic Mom podcast. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute honor to be invited, so I'm really grateful.
Thank you. And if you're joining the Nordic Mom podcast, then please jump into iTunes and give us a review and let us know what you think. We always love to hear from our listeners. Show our reviews in our Insta stories and jump in again next week for another interesting story from one of our interesting business ladies. Thanks for now and goodbye. Thank you.